Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
All right, so Bianca, Mercedes, and Marcus, I just love you all. I'm just going to be saying that all through the night. Let's talk about worship tonight. Is that all right? I have just a few minutes, so we got to make this quick. John 4, 24. Everybody go there. John chapter 4, verse 24. I want to speak tonight to those who worship him. There's a truth in the word of God that is timeless. You cannot affix or append a time restraint to it, because worship is eternal. Worship is eternal. Worship is eternal. When you engage in worship, you are engaging in that which is eternal, because God is forever praised. That means we don't ever invite God here. We go up there. The problem, one of the problems with the church is that we insist on inviting God down here, when the invitation is to come up there. He has issued an invitation and he says, I want you to be partakers of the heavenly calling. Worship is a heavenly calling. Because if we are worshiping on earth here, if our worship happens here, then we are worshiping in the wrong place. Think about it. Because they that worship must worship in spirit. This realm is not the spirit realm. This is the physical realm. God is spirit. And he says, you also as living stones being built up into a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Our worship of a God is spirit. Our worship is in spirit. And the offerings we bring are spiritual sacrifices. So whilst we worship, whilst we are here on earth, we occupy, and I'm just scratching the surface on this, but I know you're going to receive what it is God is saying. We occupy simultaneously two realms. We are citizens of this natural realm, but our citizenship is also in heaven. Come on, somebody. And so when we worship, the invitation is always to come up. To the Hebrew, when they heard worship, in their mind, you would always read, let us go up to Jerusalem. Let us go up to worship. This is why David asked the question in Psalm 24, who shall ascend? Who will pay the price to ascend? It is convenient to invite God here. Then that doesn't require any effort on your part. But when we are invited to ascend, because if you read Revelation 11:1, he says, measure the temple and count those who worship there. It's in your Bible. He said, count the worshipers. As a matter of fact, let's go there. Because I'm just going to flow as the Spirit leads. And I know you can appreciate that because your pastor does the same thing. Revelation 11:1, somebody find it for me. And then we're going to go over to John 4. Who has it? It's up there? All right. Oh, wonderful. All right. Then there was given me a measuring rod, like a staff. And someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. This is happening in heaven. In some versions it says, count those who worship there. It's easy to count how many people are in this room tonight, Marcus. If we were to take a survey, we could estimate. We could count how many females are in this room. All the females, just lift your hands. Yeah, we could start to count. We can count how many men. We can count how many musicians we have. But he says, count the worshipers. Because whilst everybody is in here, not everybody can be counted as a worshiper. And I just want to encourage you that in all that we do, what he is really counting, the instruction is timeless. Count how many made it to worship there. Count how many took the climb. Count how many took the journey. Count how many prepared themselves to go up. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Every instruction you read in the Old Testament and in the New, you would see where Paul said in the book of Acts, he said, it's been so many days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Every instruction has the connotation, we're going up to worship. The problem with the church, we insist on inviting God down here. But my Bible tells me in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God. So before he can draw near to us, what must precede that is we drawing near to him. But we forget that part of the equation. And we insist, draw near to us. You come near to us. But we're not following instructions. It says, you draw near. And it is in the drawing near where God communicates his presence. So what really should be happening? Because the enemy occupies the second realm, we are here in the physical realm. But we are essentially spirit beings, clothed in a human body. We have a body. We are not a body. We have a body. We are spirit because we are made in his image. This is why when you are doing deliverance, the enemy will fight to come out or to exit a person. Why? Because he knows to be in this realm, he has to have a body. He cannot stay here legally without a body. It's the same thing with you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, for Jesus to come here, here's what he said. A body was prepared. Oh my God. For him to come here, because he existed before he came here. Jesus. So for him to legally come here, a body was prepared for him to come here. For you to stay here, you need a body. But you existed before you came here too. You just have to read the Psalms. It says this one and that one was born there in Zion. Oh God, Jesus. This is why when you meet someone, it's like, I feel like I've known you. Because we existed before we got here. Oh my God. Your Bible says that. This is why the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, when one dies, the spirit returns to God who gave it. You can't return somewhere if you weren't there first. So every time you worship, you return home. Oh yeah, I think you missed that. Every time you worship, you go home. Oh, Jesus. Every time you worship, you go home. Tell somebody, I'm going home. This is why you can't speak as if heaven is a future reality. Heaven is a present reality. It's not when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. That ain't true. We get to heaven every day. Because we are partakers of the heavenly calling. How much time do I have? That's my clock. Okay. it's both a present and a future reality. So you every time you worship, if you worship the way God prescribed, you enter heaven every time you worship. Because you go up. Who shall ascend? Who shall ascend? I ascend in my spirit. You are earthbound physically. This body cannot go up there because no flesh can glory in his presence. So it's with your spirit you ascend. Your spirit taps in, because the Bible says those who worship there. Somebody say those who worship there. So if we were tonight to count the worshipers, I wonder how many would fit the criteria. I didn't say count those who sing, those who have a lovely voice, those who can blow. Then where he counting? He's counting worshipers. Oh my God. Those who will draw near. Those who will, because worship is a journey to the presence of God. Oh my God. I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I enter his courts with praise. There has to be thanksgiving. But what we want to come with is misgivings. We want to enter telling God all about our day, all about our week. And he says, no, the criteria is just come with thanksgiving. Enter my courts with praise. So it's we journey. What happens? This is why the enemy fights worship. And I haven't touched my notes yet because I just want to flow by the Spirit. What happens is when we begin to ascend, as we draw near, Simona, and come Ken. Let me show you what really is this, what God designed worship to do. If we are here, and this is God, you go tonight. This is the second realm. I'm the first realm. The second realm is the principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. That realm. God is in the third heavens. We know that the enemy wanted to go there because he says, I will ascend. So he wasn't there. That's another story. Yeah. He said, I will ascend. He wanted to enter this realm. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north? That's another teaching. But I'm inviting myself back to come and teach. Just say amen. And so this is the realm that is coveted. He occupies this realm. We are here on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, worship never ceases. The Bible says they cease not day and night to cry holy, to worship the Lord Almighty, the one worthy to receive glory and honor, dominion and power, all of that good stuff going on there. So he says in Hebrews 12, he says, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, but you have come to Mount Zion, to heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn and the general assembly. So the general assembly in heaven is in continuous worship. We always join worship. So worship doesn't begin here on earth. It doesn't start when we start service at 7. We join the general assembly already in worship. Are you still with me? So what happens is the enemy wants you to stay here and not go there. Why? Because to get there, what happens is there's a collision. If I am drawing near to God, and God is drawing near to me, somebody's going to get squeezed. Somebody's going to get ousted. Somebody's going to be in trouble. Because as I draw near to God, he is drawing near to me. So can you go over by that green band right there? All right. So what is happening? I draw near, demonstration, to God. I take the first step. You take one step. I draw near to God. Because it says you draw near and he will draw near. I draw near. I'm going to meet God. But I'm being escorted by the innumerable company of angels. Oh God. There's a heavenly escort so that I get there safely. Oh God. So the angels are accompanying me. Who shall ascend? God, I made the decision. I want to ascend. I'm drawing near to God. Now, I've got to pass through the second heavens. Because if you read your Bible in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, since we have a high priest who has passed through the heavens. Every time you worship, you pass through. Oh, my God.
God, Jesus.
You pass through the heavens. The reason why worship, he wants worship to not be a priority in the church, is because I know that every time you worship and you do it the way God says to do it, I am in trouble. This, as I draw near to God, and God is drawing near to me, he is getting squashed. Every problem, every plot, every plan, every conspiracy that he is concocting in this realm is addressed. Oh my God. Oh my God. This is how you do your warfare. Because you as you pass through, you are affecting what is happening here. And the plan cannot hold. It cannot stand. Because the weight of God coming down to draw near, you gonna be squashed. There's one in every church. your greatest spiritual weapon is worship. Think about it. To get here to God, he doesn't want you because this is affected. Every plan, every conspiracy, every plot that the enemy is conjuring up over your life comes to nothing when you worship. Oh, God. Worship is so important to the enemy. That of all the things that he asked Jesus for, he could have asked him for his authority. He could have said, I want your name. I want your position. Thank you, guys. I want what you have. He said, I will give you all these things if you bow down and worship me. He asked for the worship, Marcus, because in asking for the worship, Bianca, everything is included in the worship. God. So here's what he said, made an idolatrous proposal. All these things I'll give you. The enemy knows that you get all these things when you worship. You get all these things when you worship. So what he was doing is, I want you to sidestep the cross. Because Jesus hasn't gone to the cross yet. I don't want you to go through the process. It don't take all of that. Just give me your worship and you'll get all these things that your Father promised you. Jesus' response, it is written, get thee behind me. Thou shalt worship the Lord and him only shall thou serve. Until your worship is your only response, you are not ready to exit the wilderness. Thou shalt worship the Lord and him only. He made it exclusive. until you are prepared to let worship be your only response in 2017, you'll be going around in circles. This is why I'm going to close with those who worship him. In John chapter 4, he says, God is spirit. Put it up for me, please. John chapter 4, verse 24. And to the media, I have two other scriptures and I'm done. Proverbs 25, 28, Proverbs 16, 32. God is spirit, and those who worship him, those, which means not everyone worships him. All right, there are those who worship him, but they do it the wrong way. So that's vain worship. And then there are those who don't worship him, so that's false worship. You have vain worship, you have false worship. In Matthew 15, he said, they draw near to me with their lips and with their mouths they honor me, but their hearts are far, and in vain do they worship. You don't want to be worshiping him and then hear in vain. You don't want your worship to be futile. Because to worship, to go through all of that, and then still have your worship in vain, don't make no sense. So those who worship him, this message may not apply to everybody. It's those who worship him. He says, you must worship me in spirit and in truth. I want to say to you, in 2017, this message is timeless. It can transpire into every year, because worship is eternal. Those who worship him, who are they? Who are those who worship him? We've got 9 minutes. Who are those who worship him? All right. We're counting the worshipers tonight. Your criteria is spirit and in truth. Not so? Talk to me. Must. So not if you feel like it. Not if you had a good day. Not if your day was favorable. Or you had a bonus at the end of the year. So you outpraise everybody. You just come in here and get your praise on. You just got to step aside and just let you praise. No. Those who worship him. And this is a worshiping house, I can tell. This is a worshipful house. Listen, agree with me. This is a worshipful house. He says those who worship him must worship him in spirit. Job said, there is a spirit in man. So we worship from our spirit to God who is spirit. God is spirit. God is spirit. So the only way you can worship him is from your spirit. This is why a true worshiper must have a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. You can never call yourself a true worshiper and have a wrong spirit. That's an oxymoron. That can't add up. True worshipers, one of the things about a true worshiper that distinguishes a true worshiper is their right spirit. It doesn't mean that they don't mess up, Marcus. It doesn't mean that they don't, you know, falter. It doesn't mean that they don't sin. It doesn't mean, but they have a right spirit. They know how to renew their spirit, get their spirit right with God. Uh-huh. All right. So there's a spirit in man, and it's from that spirit. Somebody say there's a spirit in man. And that's Job 32:8. You don't have to go there. Job 30, I'm telling you it is there. In Job chapter 32, verse 8, it says there is a spirit in man. And it's from that spirit that you communicate with God, not your flesh. Not your flesh. The spirit synonymous with the heart. The Bible says the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. It's the core of who you are. It's the real you. So when you worship, if your heart is not engaged, then your worship is in vain. The reason why a lot of people are frustrated, Bianca, is because they find their worship in, but they're not seeing the benefits of their worship. Whenever you worship God the way he wants to be worshipped, you activate a spiritual exchange. I'm done. 2 more minutes. Somebody say a right spirit. 2017, you gotta make sure you have a right spirit. You mess up, you get angry, you get whatever. Just renew your, get a right spirit. I need a right spirit. I need to have the right spirit if I'm going to be a true worshiper. Because one thing about a true worshiper, the true worshiper will worship. The verse before that says that. The true worshiper, he says, they that worship him, let me tell you what it says. You don't go there. I'm going to tell you what it says. It says in John 4, Pastor, just bear with me. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father. Will worship. The true worshiper doesn't have an excuse why they can't worship. Somebody say they will worship. I don't care. Their back is against the wall, but they will worship. Hard times, but they will worship. Don't have no money, but they will worship. Don't know how, what's going to be the outcome, but they will worship. They don't understand everything, but they will worship. That's how you know a true worshiper. Because that's what it says. And now is when the true worship. So you have worshipers and you have true worshipers. In 2017, you want to be a true worshiper. The worshiper. I like your pastor. The worshiper has an excuse. Well, you just don't know what I went through this year. Who cares? The Bible says, no temptation that is not common to man. Everything, somebody else is going through that too. It's common to man. Isn't that what the word says? It's common. So you all that special. You're the only person going through something. The whole world is going through something. I like this church. The whole world. So what are you going to do about that? The true. No, so we have worshipers in the church, and then we have the true worshipers. Who he counts as the true worshipers, not those who are convenient worshipers. There's something about the true worshipers. They say they will. They will. They will. Not perhaps. Not probably. Not if they feel like it. They will. They will. They will. No matter what. As they would say in Jamaica, no matter what I go on. No matter what I go on. They will worship. And who will they worship? Not their problem. Oh my God. You can identify a true worshiper easily. You will know who is getting their worship. Because you will hear from the worshiper, oh, my problem, oh, this situation, oh, that's, the true worshiper will be telling you that I have a Father who knows my name. He knows it all together. He's altogether lovely. He is the one, my God, who is able to make all grace abound so that I can have sufficiency in all things. He is the one who is ruler over the heavens and the earth. The true worshiper talks about the Father. You hear somebody talking, the only thing they talk about is their problems. You're just a worshiper. We want the true worshipers who will worship who? The Father. Anything, there is never a void of worship. There is never a vacuum of worship. There is never an absence of worship. Why? Because we are created in our DNA to worship. So if we are not worshiping the Father, we are still worshiping. Oh my God. If we are not worshiping the Father, we are still worshiping someone or something else. Who is getting your worship? Is it the Father? Come on, somebody. Is it the Father? Because there is never a void. There's never an absence of worship. You are inveterate in your worship. Worship is innate. You're a chronic worshiper. You can't help but worship something or someone. Anything you are ascribing worth to, it could be a problem. It could be the work of your hands. And Micah talks about that. You shall no longer worship the work of your hands. Says that. So anything you are ascribing worth to, you are worshiping that thing. This is why he says the true worshiper now. Let's distinguish who they are. Who did they worship? The Father. In spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his. So what do you want everybody to worship? I don't know where we get this stupidness from. Let me go in my Caribbean accent now. Let me go Trini on you because I'm where I'm really from, you know. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago. I sing some accent. The word of God says, he says, for such people. So when God scans the earth for worshipers, he ain't receiving everybody worship. For such worship, such people, the Father seeks. So he going through every time you come into them wrong, don't they? He's seeking. Such people. Such. So you feel that you can give God whatever you want, and he had to accept that. And then God understands the devil is a liar. And a liar. Such people. Such people. There's a criteria. There is a standard. I am seeking that kind, that breed, that caliber to worship me, his worshipers. You can know the true worshiper from the mere worshiper. There's a distinguishment. There's a distinctiveness between a worshiper and a true worshiper. That's another teaching. Must worship in spirit. Must worship in spirit. Somebody say spirit. Must worship in spirit. In Proverbs 16:32 and Proverbs 25:28, Pastor, may I borrow 5 minutes? Thank you. Let's get this. Heads up. Let's get this because we got to go. Proverbs 25:28 and 16:32. Let's go there. And I'm done. Like a city that is broken into without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. If the city is broken down and without walls, you know what that means? Anything can come in, and then you're vulnerable. You're exposed because you have no rule over your spirit. But if you must worship God in spirit, in order to worship God in spirit, you must have rule over your spirit. You can't worship God in spirit and not have control over your spirit. How that don't make no sense. How are you going to be telling your spirit to worship God and you have no control over your spirit? You need to be able to tell your spirit you're going to worship tonight. Body ain't feeling it. Mind ain't feeling it. If I look at things naturally, but spirit, you go worship. Oh my God. Because you control your spirit. Ah, my God. You tell spirit to worship. David said, I will bless the Lord and all that is within me. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? And why art thou despised? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. That's what you speak to your spirit. Next scripture. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who does what? Than he who captures a city. It's a great feat to be able to capture a city. The amount of logistics that has to go into capturing a city. You got to plan your route of escape. You got to have a plan B. You got to know how you're going to escape. You got to know if you're put up in trouble, what you're going to do. There has to be logistics to go into taking a city. But he says a person who can rule his spirit is better than he who can take a city. The church wants to take cities, but they don't know how to rule their spirit. You don't take cities. Taking the city. Taking the city. But you ain't got no rule over your spirit. Somebody just look at you funny, but you looking at me like that for. You come to church and the usher didn't tell you good morning. They ain't got no manners in that church. And so your whole worship experience that Sunday morning is affected because the usher didn't tell you good morning. And pastor didn't call my name because I donated all the gifts for Christmas. And he didn't even acknowledge me. Have no rule over your spirit. So you come, you look sweet and pretty, and all dolls up. But you have no rule over your spirit. To say spirit, worship. You're going through hard times. You're going through a difficult period. And the first thing to go is your worship. The first thing to be silenced is your worship. Why? Because we have no rule over our spirit. Yet we want to take nations. We want to take cities. Who are we fooling, Bianca? Who are we fooling? But I believe this house is prepared, positioned, and poised. I'll say that again. It's prepared, positioned, and poised to capture cities. Come on, somebody. Because this will be a church who knows how to rule the spirit. And we worship God in spirit. Let's count the worshipers in this room tonight. Let's count the worshipers tonight. Let's come to worship us tonight. Let's come to worship us tonight. Come on, go up with a praise. Let's come to worship us in this house. Come on to worship us. I want those who worship him. I want those who worship him to open up their mouths and tell him, thank you for this year. Thank you that in 2017, I am crossing over as a true worshiper. I will be among the such who worship you. I will be counted and numbered among those who worship you in spirit and in truth. Truth says to bless him at all times. Truth says to lift your hands. Truth says, my God, to worship him prostrately. Truth says, my God, to dance before him according to truth, in accordance with truth, in accordance with truth. We employ truth in our worship. Whatever truth says. Truth says that you're worthy, so we say you're worthy. Truth says that you deserve it, so we tell you that you deserve it. Truth says you're worthy to receive, so we tell you that you're worthy to receive. What the true worshipers. You're transitioning out of 2016 as a worshiper and into 2017 as a true worshiper.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.